You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Round the horn with statements on statement wins. And here's a preemptive mute for all of you. We know you can't win a championship in January. We know a ring is better than MVP. This is about now and today. Embiid over Jokic last night and a whole lot of great action. And a statement trade. News of the day, Indy gets Siakam. We'll talk about it now around the horn.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say any of those things. I would like my point back.
You guys always do that. Like, it's a big surprise. Yes, we know a game in April means more than a game in January, but still. When Joel Embiid was crowned MVP last year after Philly was about to be run out of the playoffs, and then Jokic went on to dominate the postseason and win the ring, an irresistible force was set in motion. So last night in Philadelphia, it was Hagler Hearns to start. Young people, YouTube that. You got to see the Hagler Hearns round one. Closing minutes, though, going to Philadelphia and Embiid. Woody Page, you're in Denver. We start with you. What's the statement made by Philadelphia last night?
Well, let me start with this statement, Tony. I think that statement had an exclamation mark at the end of it because Embiid proved that he is the best player in the league again this season. With the numbers he's putting up and with the performances he's had, I don't think that Jokic really is in the conversation more than being in the paragraph with him based on what we
saw
last night.
For MVP this season, yeah.
Yes. The early straw poll says that Jokic is second to none except for Embiid. But here's the key to this series. Embiid never plays in Denver. He's only played in two games against the Nuggets since he came into the league. He finds a convenient way not to be in Denver each year. So they play again in 2 weeks. We're going to see what happens when he comes to Denver. But these two teams would make a great finals because we haven't had two big men of this caliber, I think, in a finals forever. Mm-hmm. Going back to Chamberlain and Russell, I think. But here's what we saw last night. Even though they lost Harden, Philadelphia has Harris, who's doing a great job for them, and that Maxey is doing a fantastic job as the number two guy there. And I think that being rated eighth, as they are in the latest ESPN Power Poll, is wrong. This is a team that belongs in the top five.
All right, so the statement you took away from last night is that Philly should have finals aspirations. David Dennis Jr., to you.
Oh, I want to start because I know what Kevin Clark is thinking. That's Shaq and Olajuwon finals, Orlando-Houston. That should go in the big man finals history books, too. But in terms of this one, yes, the statement here is being made that, you know, sticks with the Nuggets and the Sixers. Denver has gone out there in these playoff series a lot of times in the last few years, and they've known that they have the best player on the court at all those times. We might not be able to say that when they're going up faced against the 76ers and Embiid. Embiid had more points and more assists than Jokic. That's the first time that's happened since a meaningless game in April of last year. And you talk about those last two games that they played. Yes, they both were in Philly, but Embiid has outscored Jokic. Embiid had 88 points in those two games, almost doubling up what Jokic has in those two games. He's been straight up dominant against Jokic. So when Denver looks across the aisle at who they're playing with, they're going to have to face the fact they may have the second best player on the court, and that's foreign to them.
Israel Gutierrez, statement from last night, Philly over Denver.
Well, of all people, Joel Embiid can't make regular season statements. And I know you just said this, Tony. I know this is not what you want to hear. But what they did show and what they've been showing all season long is the blueprint to then get Embiid that success in the playoffs. And last night you saw it didn't matter where he initiated the offense, low post, mid post, at the top. He was effective and he has such variety in his game. It's almost like Nick Nurse is using him as a bigger Kawhi Leonard, which won him a championship in Toronto. And when you've got that versatility and that variety variety in your game, and you've got an efficient Tobias Harris, who I always gauge as sort of the real barometer of how good that team is on any given night. If he's playing well, they're going to be really good. And so if you have all that and Tyrese Maxey doing his normal thing, you have to be perfect to beat this team. And the Nuggets were not. Their backcourt of KCP and Jamal Murray were just slightly off enough to lose this game on the road. What I do think this does for Joel Embiid as he continues this run in the regular season is when he gets to the postseason and says, hey, I know it's going to be about me. I don't have to worry about getting Harden involved. I don't have to worry about getting Ben Simmons involved. And if I don't perform, I'll be the reason we lose. And so you set that sort of line in the sand immediately, and you see how he's performing in the regular season. You expect that now in the postseason.
Kevin Clark, did you get a statement that was similar to the rest of this panel, that Embiid has risen to that or something else?
Yeah, best player in basketball. I do want to correct David. I do not acknowledge the 95 finals. Nick Anderson made sure of that. It is out of my mind. But I will say this. The last time that Joel Embiid did not score 30 points was the group stage to an in-season tournament that you've already forgotten about. That was November 15th. When guarding each other, the two best players in basketball last night, Joel Embiid doubled up Jokic in points.
He was more unbelievable
efficient
to be
in
said.
Shooting. This is head-to-head stuff. The best way to prove you're valuable is to be more valuable with other guys like that on the
there
court.
There was a
this
game last
stunning.
Year, and thank you, Kevin, where Embiid outplayed Jokic. It was a huge line, and that was more than anything, I think, a deciding vote for Embiid over Jokic when it came to MVP. This year, we may not have that conversation. Embiid may not have enough games played for the requirement, but I think you all agree it's not about MVP anymore for Joel Embiid. We'll move on. More statement last night. Clippers getting the best game of the season from Paul George and some lockdown defense late to beat OKC. After the game, James Harden positively buoyant about this team. Wants that hardcore to be kept long term. David Dennis Jr., I go to you for hardcore. What's the statement here from the Clippers?
I want to start with a statement from James Harden, which is the most self-aware statement he had. He said, I want to stay with this team. And I said that about the last team I played with. But no, for real this time, I want to stay with this team. So shout out to him for being very self-aware with that. This Clippers team has been the best team in the West since that six-game skid. But there are some long-term things that you got to worry about if it's sustainable here. Kawhi Leonard's played 36 of 40 games. That is a tick that we have not seen from him in a very long time. You also have the bugaboo of what James Harden's going to look like in the playoffs. There's the playoff P stuff that's going on. There's how Russell Westbrook gets played off the court in the playoffs. And again, they are the Clippers. How many times has this team been the best team or the favorite at this point in the season and then fallen apart? So yes, they're the best right now, but there are a lot of long-term concerns that are based on their history.
Israel Gutierrez.
Well, I'm not going to hold Kawhi Leonard actually playing now against him, so I'm just going to assume he can continue this through the regular season and the postseason. I think against Oklahoma City, when you can slow down Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you can pretty much, you know, cut the head off the snake there, and they have the defenders, multiple defenders to do that in Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, etc. And so I think for this matchup, yeah, they fit very well. I think there are some other potential situations with some bigs, maybe a Denver or Lakers team that could give them problems, but the Clippers, a lot like the Sixers, have been showing over and over again, their formula works. And whether that be going through Kawhi, going through Paul George, going through James Harden, or just picking the hot hand and going through that person and just playing enough defense, it seems to have worked. And OKC's been really good all season long. They have an MVP candidate themselves. So to beat them at all, huge accomplishment.
Kevin Clark, statement from the Clippers win over OKC.
Yeah. The most dangerous player in basketball is James Harden when he can't renegotiate his contract and has to lock in. Obviously, the Clippers have the combination of the best two best players, which is Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, but those two only played 38 games together last year. They're going to blow past that mark this month. They're playing basketball. They like basketball together right now. This is special stuff. There is a new contender in the West. If they get home playoff games, and it looks like they will, look out.
And Woody Page.
Well, I told you 2 weeks ago I thought the Thunder was the best team in the West. Well, that's been replaced by the Clippers. We've seen that since the beginning of December, the best record in the league. And I think that this core will stay together because of a couple of things. One, that they're moving into a new arena next year, and I think that's going to be a big thing to these Clippers players, that they'll have their own place. They won't be an interloper in the Lakers gym. And the other aspect is – the contracts are going to be coming up at the end of the year. We've already had Leonard sign his, and he took less than a max contract to come back. So I think if they can bring those together, including Westbrook, who's got only a $5 million option right now for next year.
Mm-hmm. Less than a max contract, still 50 mil per over the next 3 years for Kawhi Leonard, who I heard what you're saying, David. It's a shock that he's playing so much. Once he did come back last season, he missed, you know, 20 games early on. He played just about every night to finish last season. We'll take one more statement from the schedule last night. Phoenix coming back from 22 down midway through the fourth quarter to beat Sacramento. Look at the emotion from Kevin Durant. After the game, he said he had no clue how they came back. Israel, there's coming back from 22, and there's blowing a lead up 22. Was last night more Phoenix's breakthrough or Sac's breakdown?
I would lean towards Sacramento here because watching this game, a lot of the times Kevin Durant, I found him in the first three quarters stuck in the corner, not really touching the ball, and Devin Booker and Bradley Beal were not shooting it well. He thought there was no way they could get out of this. And then Kevin Durant gets hot, gets the ball a little bit more, and he shows that emotion. That to me sounds like the Kings not being able to close against a team that's not really a threat when you've got two of their big three having bad games and you let Grayson Allen go off for that type of game. So if I'm the Kings, I'm a little concerned about my defense in the fourth quarter.
Kevin Clark, statement from last night's Phoenix-Sacramento game for you.
Yeah, disagree with Izzy. This is about the Suns and the creativity on offense. Playing Kevin Durant at center, he was all over the place on defense. This is a team with the best five-man combination on defense in the entire league right now. They understand what they can be. You get, I think identity finding is a big key this regular season. To find out they've got that kind of creativity, that's huge come April, May. June.
That's a pretty big takeaway then, that Phoenix with Durant playing in the center. Better position could spur
it's
their
like the Buffalo
move up
Bills.
The rankings here.
It's like the Bills. You find your identity if you have talent through the regular season, and all you need is a couple of things to click in your day.
Phoenix at the eighth seed right now, finally, Woody Page. They had to work hard to get there. What was your takeaway from last night?
Vogel going to four guards with Kevin Durant at center made a difference. Durant went out and made 2 3-pointers, but you're talking about a game when they were 87 three-pointers, and three-pointers will get you back into a mm-hmm. game in the NBA mm-hmm. if you're able to get it, like Grayson Allen going for 9 and Bradley Beal contributing after having problems early in the season. I'm giving all the credit to the Suns in that comeback because they just went out and didn't give up mm-hmm. at all.
I think you were off a little bit. 77 three-pointers total in the game. David Dennis Jr., takeaway from last night's big comeback.
My takeaway is the Kings and what they struggled with last year and what they're struggling with against this year. Yes, that Suns lineup was devastating in that fourth quarter, but that Suns team is still 4-11 when trailing after the first quarter. And you put Kevin Durant in that center position, Sabonis is supposed to feast on that position, on Kevin Durant, and he could not do that in the playoffs last year, and he could not do that last night. And then there's De'Aaron Fox, who was the clutch player of the year last year, who has been struggling tremendously in the clutch, 0-13 from 3 in the clutch this season.
You gave a stat. Suns were 4-11 when trailing at halftime. They're now 1-0 when a dog pees on the court at halftime. The dog pee comeback game for the Phoenix Suns. We'll take a break here. Buy or sell next.
I missed that.
What's up, kiddos? I'm Clinton Yates of Around the Horn. Whenever I go to cover games or attend events in Los Angeles, I'm always keeping my eye out for the best dressed person in the room. I saw Diego Luna at the Andor red carpet launch event, Star Wars, folks, and he looked head of state fresh. Now you can also be that person too, whether you're sitting courtside, attending a fancy dinner, or going to a wedding. With a fully custom suit from Indochino, you'll walk into wedding season looking like $1 million for way, way less. They start at just $4.99. With Indochino, you can design the suit of your dreams and fine-tune every detail, including lapels, linings, monograms, pocket flaps, etc. A tailored fit from home. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose customizations without even leaving the house. Look your best this wedding season. At the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com today and use code HORN to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code HORN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase.
I'm very confident. Very, very confident. Extremely confident.
Three berries and an extremely from Lamar Jackson. Given how good the Ravens have been this year, and he's the presumptive MVP, how good he's been this year, it's understandable. Given the playoff history, it's a slightly more complicated, Kevin Clark. So buy or sell Lamar Jackson saying that in advance of their first playoff game.
I'm selling extreme confidence because Lamar Jackson has not been very good in the playoffs. His best quarterback rating in the playoffs was his first game 4 years ago, which was a 78. That's just not his regular season form. And by the way, I think they're going to win this game, but I would not be wanting to justify my playoff bona fides against this Texans team. This is a really good team. CJ Stroud's making perfect passes. Derek Stingley was playing excellent defense the other day. Laramie Tunsil, Myles Garrett in his pocket.
So you're selling the idea that the presumptive MVP should be confident going into this postseason in their offense. Israel, how about you?
Well, I'm buying him saying it because what else is he supposed to say, especially when you've got a surprise Houston Texans team and a rookie quarterback coming in. But the part of being a disappointment in the playoffs is that you've had the high expectations before. And so having them now, and if you disappoint, it's going to come at you even harder, a lot of that criticism. And so, yeah, you have to say that you're confident, but there's a reason you've disappointed in the past, and maybe it'll happen again.
Dennis Jr., buy or sell Lamar saying it.
I'm buying the confidence. Like I said, what else is he supposed to say? But also, this team has set the record for beating 500 teams and smacking most of them by at least 14 points. You can talk about Lamar's playoff record, but it looks very similar to another guy, Peyton Manning's playoff record, who was 0-3 in his first three playoff games with one touchdown and two interceptions. And they're going against a Texans squad that's 29th in yards per attempt, and so he should be able to feast in this squad. You lose this game, then we can start talking about choking and all that stuff with the playoff things, but give Lamar this season to see what he can do.
And Woody Page.
I'm buying what he said. Kevin Clark, you actually want a quarterback to get up there and say, I'm hesitant about this game. I'm not sure what's going to happen. I want him to say he's confident, very confident, extremely confident, because he has gone 1-3 in the playoffs. But this year, I think he's developed a mental aspect to the game that he didn't have during those periods of time, that he actually won't just take off on the run, that he looks for other options, and he's got wide receivers there, the one in OBJ that he really trusts. So I think he should be confident.
Buy or sell two, back to the NBA. Woody, smoke him if Siakam. The Pascal Siakam trade. Raptors sending him to Indiana, the in-season tournament runner-ups, or runners-up, what is it, for Bruce Brown and three first-rounders. Israel, three first-rounders and a starter for Siakam on an expiring deal means what about the Pacers?
I mean, if you are a franchise like the Pacers, this is exactly how you do it. You get yourself a superstar that seems like he wants to stick around, and Halliburton, having been on another team, would probably want to stick around here. You make yourself fun and attractive to free agents if you get to that point, but more importantly, you lock up the second all-star. Pascal Siakam is that, and if he's on an expiring deal, they can negotiate with him and sign him to an extension. So there you've got two potential all-stars, and don't forget a head coach in Rick Carlisle who can win you championships, has done it with another organization. I don't care how many draft picks you have to give up, this is a perfect scenario.
So you think this is a perfect scenario and a move that proves the Pacers can win the Eastern Conference this year?
Close enough.
Kevin Clark, how about you? I don't want close enough. Is this a move that you think proves they can contend to the Eastern Conference this year?
No, all due respect to the tantalizing possibility of the Halliburton-Siakam two-man game. I'm really excited to see it. This is a big swing to be the fourth best team in the Eastern Conference. This does not get them into the top. I won't say the E word that will get me banned, but I understand what that looks like up top. The Pacers are a cut below that. I think there's a big swing. I like it for the future, but they've got maybe cap problems going forward. This is not going to get them to where they need to go.
Boston, Milwaukee, and Philadelphia are the three teams I think you're seeing ahead of them.
Okay. Miami. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we hear you, Israel. Woody Page?
The Pacers are going to be in Indianapolis for a while, Kevin, so they can look to the future. They don't have to worry that they're going to win the championship this year. If you are putting together those kind of talents with Halliburton and him coming in, I think that's a sign that they're on the way up rather than trending down.
Well, they haven't been trending down. They were runner-up in the in-season tournament a month and a half ago. David Dennis Jr.,
Pascal, this is a beautiful move. Pascal can shore up that defense, and I know they're going to still be not the top three team in the East this season, but the most important numbers are 23 and 29, and that is their age, and you have locked in two stars for the foreseeable future who can be the best in the East in the coming years.
Shore up that defense? I think it takes more than one Siakam, maybe. That team lets up 130 every other game, it seems like. But, yeah, he can't help. Can't help but help them. That's going to be it. Israel Gutierrez, Kevin Clark, thank you for your time. Today, Paige, Dennis Jr., both. A little bit of a drought coming into today's showdown. We'll see who gets that FaceTime next.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Woodrow Wilson Page Jr. and David Dennis Jr. Good luck at showdown. The Belichick sweepstakes and Jeremy Fowler reporting he's targeting talented yet underachieving teams. Woody, what does that mean, and which team should be most excited?
Well, of course he is. All the teams didn't overachieve this year.
Exactly.
But specifically, it would be the Chargers. They've got Herbert there. I would think that he'd want to go there and work with a quarterback like he had in New England for a lot of years.
David Dennis Jr.
Yeah, I'm glad to see that Bill Belichick has, lessened the pool to literally every team that's looking for a coach. But on the bright side, the Atlanta Falcons are going to tweet out one day today, breaking news, we are an underachieving team. Congratulations to us.
You're talking about every team now has to release a tweet to say that we're just even considered an option. I don't know. I don't see either of those teams as being the talented teams. You're both losing a point. We'll move on. Clippers new arena. We got our first look. Here it is. It's a section of uninterrupted rows that I want you to draw your attention to behind the basket. Section 51. It's a Clippers fans only section. This is what they hope it'll look like. Only Clippers fans. You cannot cheer for the opposing team. You cannot wear opposing team gear. You cannot sell your tickets to anybody that's not in the Clippers marketplace. They're calling it the wall, David. Do you need Clippers fans on that wall? Do you want them on that wall?
I don't know how you're going to enforce this, to enforce players cheering for one team. You remember, this is the history of the Clippers. They're doing well now, but there was a time where it was really, really hard to fill up stands of people who were cheering for the Clippers.
Woodrow.
David, I say to the Clippers, build the wall. Mm. Develop the develop the loyalty of your fans there. You don't want Lakers fans being in the crowd anymore. You don't want teams coming in from the Celtics and taking over the crowd.
I laughed when I first heard this, but I agree with you, Woody Page. I think this is like European soccer. The idea here, if you can make it work, could be great. There it is, Woodrow. You're finally off the schneid.
Ooh, thank goodness. There was a young man who was a stutterer growing up, and he has developed in what we call in this country the voice. I'm talking about James Earl Jones, who is 93 today. Happy birthday. He has been two of the most famous voices in history of films. Once he was Darth Vader in all of those movies, and he was also Mufasa in the movies about The Lion King. But in addition to that, he's played in three sports movies, The Great White Hope, The Sandlot, and of course, The Field of Dreams, where he said, Ray, you build it and they'll come.
You got that win. There you go.